Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to This Week on the Grappling Rewind Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to recap Fight to Win 113 in Reno, Nevada. We're going to preview Sogi 2, Polaris 10, Finishers 9, and EBI CJJ Combat Worlds 135, or whatever it's being called now. As always on the show, I'm your host, Maine, joined with my co-host,
Austin.
How you doing, Austin?
I'm good, man. How are you? I'm
doing good. So before we get into all of that, let's do some news. Emil's out for the next 2 weeks, so we got Austin for this week. I think you're on next week as well.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. Like your scheduling, you're like, I'll be here. So, and the first news, so Spider Championships looks like it's having some sort of open registration for its next event. There's not a ton of details on this. Looks like they're running some sort of contest that's on their Instagram profile. If you're interested in entering into Spider, and if you're a competitor, you should be. Look at their contest, look at the rules, see if you can get an entry into that. In other news, Keenan versus Mergali was announced.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Oh, my. You got to talk into the mic, Austin.
Yeah. So Mergali just smashed everyone basically at Brasileiro, so I'm pretty interested to see him compete again. And it's going to be in the Gi, right?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be in the Gi. It's at Third Coast Grappling. So we saw Third Coast Grappling. We saw Keenan last time versus Tex, and Keenan looked like a world beater in that. I'm not sure if it'll be, because Third Coast does an interesting format, which is first to 11 points. Last time Keenan's match was like just a regular point, you know, whoever wins on points wins. But it'll be interesting to see if the Mergali matchup is actually in that that Third Coast format, which is first to 11 wins. But
it's first to 11?
Yeah.
I thought it was like if you're up by 12. I might be like misunderstanding that. I know you can like tech fall a guy basically.
Maybe up by 12. I thought.
I have to look into that.
I forgot. I know it's
yeah. You can
11.
Win on. You can like
you can win
on the match
points, and I like
yep.
It's like a tech fall. I like that because like guys can get up on someone and like, oh, he scores one more time, he wins, and you saw
yeah,
a couple times.
Yeah, instead of just sitting on a position where you score two, and it's like, ah, he has to score back on me, or it doesn't matter.
Right, but if you can positionally outdominate a guy, like you can still win on points, but you can also like win on sub too. So
yeah.
I like the format. It's interesting. So that's a huge headliner because Mergali goes into hibernation and then comes out, does a couple events, and then does Worlds. So
what's pretty crazy is how stacked the rest of the card is for only like their second event.
Yeah, dude, it looks awesome. I'm super excited for that event coming up. So that's on the radar for us. I think that's in that's coming up soon. That's like on the 29th of June is what I have on my calendar there. So we have the patches now for the Grappling Rewind. We're looking at doing a contest in the near future, so keep an eye on the Instagram page, Grappling_Rewind, for basically the contest rules for when we start posting contest stuff. So if you want to win a Grappling Rewind patch, keep a lookout for that. In other news, apparently I got this wrong last week. BJ Penn might not have been cut by the UFC. Apparently the article I read was titled he was released, but it was actually that he had released a statement. So somebody texted me and was like, hey, he wasn't released yet. And so I looked and you couldn't find anything that said he's released. So he may be released now. I don't know. But
he's
apparently
got to keep that streak going, man. Most fights lost in a row without
seven.
Getting cut. Yeah.
Seven. So that's not really BJJ news. That's just Maine being wrong news from last week.
He won Worlds. So
he did win Worlds as an American, which is super impressive.
That's right.
Let's see. We have I thought Kron was going to fight Ryan Hall in the UFC, which this again in MMA news for some reason, but we're talking about like marquee grapplers and I like to talk about them. So
sure.
It was supposed to be Kron versus Hall, but now apparently it's Hall versus Elkins, I think.
Yeah, that was the one I saw that got announced. It looked like Kron, they're trying to line a fight up for, I think it was like Akimoto who said that Kron's going to fight someone, but they're not sure who it is yet.
I can't wait to see him fight again in the UFC.
Yeah.
Like it's so cool to have a winning Gracie back in the UFC after all of these years.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see him fight better guys, though, too. Like,
yeah, no, of course. I mean, I want to see him, like, move through the roster, because UFC usually gives you, like, if you're a big guy, they kind of give you a layup matchup, or they just send you a murderer, and then you kind of run out of those guys very, very quickly,
yeah,
typically.
Yeah, it would be cool to see him fight Hall just for, like, the grappler versus grappler
right, that'd be
matchup,
awesome.
And they're both kind of similar tiered, because they're not giving Ryan Hall, like, the guys they probably should, so
right.
Makes sense for them to give him Kron if they did.
Let's see. The CBJJ announced testing for all athletes in 2020. I will believe it when I see it, but I thought it was newsworthy. Again, I don't know a ton about CBJJ, but it'll be interesting to see if they can actually implement that level and that scale of testing for their athletes. That may be like the Brazilian Federation, but I don't know. It had the same, had just like a similar logo,
yeah.
But there wasn't a ton of information on it.
When they say testing, I wonder like what level of testing, right? Like, is it going to be the same as like?
Is it
USADA?
Is it OVADA? Is it WADA?
Yeah.
Like, what level are we doing? So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know, but there's been a lot of information on testing. Oh, speaking of testing, Tina Porferio accepted her ban or sanction?
Yeah, she accepted her USADA suspension. So it'll go back to the 2018 world sample.
Yeah, so it's a retroactive. So it's a 4-year ban, but it goes back to the basically the previous year that she has
the sample that she popped out.
Yeah, basically.
So 2018 worlds. So 4 years. So in 2022, she'll be eligible again. So 4 years.
Dude, that's such a long time.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So her reasoning, I think it was on like Instagram maybe she posted something. Yeah. Her reasoning was that she...
We're good. We're not going to cut that. By the way, we're recording at 12:40 a.m. on Monday morning because this is the only time that we can get together to do this episode. So we love you guys. We're putting in the extra work to get the show out on time.
Yeah. So where were we? Oh, so yeah. She was saying that, you know, she had this injury in 2017 and potentially...
I keep trying to point to the mic so Austin can talk into it, and I keep hitting my hand into the stands. God. Continue, Austin. My bad.
She had this injury in 2017, and so she, you know, submitted all the things saying, like, oh, I took all this pain pills. Like, maybe that's what it was. USADA says, no, that's not what it is. And then she's like, well, the only thing I could think of is maybe they switched my bottles at the pharmacy, which is super unlikely because she popped off for Nandrolone.
Yeah, which is not really, I guess.
Yeah, it's a test derivative. So it's not testosterone, but it's a steroid.
Yeah.
So the chances of you getting that. Well, and a mix-up or like
a pharmacy swap. Like, that's such a weird...
I guess if you're trying to prove your innocence, you would say a dumb answer. Because if you have, like, a really, really solid answer, it's like, well, how would you know to say that?
I don't know. Yeah. It's disappointing. Like, I like to see her compete. I also don't really care about steroids. Because, again, I'm on the other end. I'm on, like, the sports analyst and enjoyment side. So it's like, it's not really in my best interest to really care about steroids. So I try to not have an opinion on that. But it does suck to not be able to see her compete for the next 3 years.
Well, in IBJJF, she still has that super fight lineup with Gabby. Did you know about this?
What?
Yeah. So there's a super fight that it's called BJJ Stars.
Oh,
I didn't see the...
She got announced for that?
I thought I saw something that said she got announced for Gabby. Like, they're like signing the contract to line her up to fight Gabby.
Oh, shit. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're still going to get to see her.
Well, there's no Fight to Win announced that Gabby Garcia is going to be on Fight to Win. I just didn't know BJJ Stars had announced the second event at this point.
So...
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. Gabby's doing Fight to Win in Portland, and it's like a week after Worlds, so I don't think Gabby's doing Worlds. Like, she's not signed up.
I thought she was signed up.
Ooh, we're getting all our wires crossed.
Well, we announced that she was signed up. You can look it up. So
I will look it up.
Moving on from this, hopefully we'll see those two match up. I'm looking forward for those two matching up for a couple years now. I've been kind of trying to talk it, because I've wanted to see it, because they're two of the big, you know, giant, super heavyweight women or open weight, you know, killers, and they're kind of different eras, and so I always think it's cool whenever, like, it's the Buchecha and Hodger,
exactly,
like, this is the Porfirio and Garcia. Like, I want to see a matchup. I want to see how they look, different eras, different games, different styles, so that would be exciting. So hopefully we'll see it on BJJ Stars.
Yeah, I'd be stoked if that's true.
That would be great.
Hopefully I'm not just on here spreading wild rumors, but that's what I wrote down.
In other news, Masvidal versus Pettis has been announced for a super fight. It looks like DT Promotion, something like that, on 6/15/2019. So that'll be cool. It looks like they're going to feature a bunch of other MMA fighters on that card as well. There's literally about 10 minutes before this recording started, I found information about that. So that will be cool. Both have some pretty decent grappling. So
yeah.
I'm kind of excited for that matchup. It'll be fun. In other news, Brittany Elkin, Big Bird, has left Fight to Win. She was a huge piece of that promotion for a long time. We wish her the best of luck moving forward with whatever she chooses to go to do after that. We also have another announcement, Joao Miao versus Marcelo Cohen on SAGC 8. That'll happen sometime in fall of 2019. Grappling Rewind is doing commentary for that, and I'm super excited for that matchup.
That's going to be dope.
I'm going to have to do tons of research and get that... get my commentary on point for that. That'll be actually in their endurance format as well. Ooh. So that's like their custom format that's like a long form. It's a really cool format. When we get closer to the next SAGC event that we're going to commentate here in a couple weeks, middle of next month, we'll talk more about that format. We'll go through exactly what that means. But it's really cool that these two are going to match up in that format because it's going to be awesome. Let's see. In other news, ADCC trials for the Asian Oceanic trials, all the footage is up now. On the Japanese Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation page on YouTube, they have both mats up there. They're starting to break out matchups like Rokako Yuasa, like all the Robert Whitaker matches are up. I think all the Lachlan Giles matches have been picked out as well. You had a little bit on Lachlan Giles you want to talk about?
Yeah, I just saw the results. I didn't get to watch any of the matches yet, but looks like all of his matches he won by heel hook, most of them inside, one outside heel hook.
Yeah, he looked good. And then, I watched a bunch of his matchups. I didn't take any notes on him because it was like the week after. We don't usually cover stuff the week after, but because there was no footage and I was so excited about it, I watched it, most of it, And dude, he looked good. Like, I'm awesome. Super excited. A bunch of the guys look good. It was super exciting to see. Like, I love watching trials rounds. I love watching kind of any sort of qualifier where people qualify into a bigger thing. I don't know why. For some reason, that gets me going so much. So there's more and more promotions doing that. But ADCC's done it for a long time, so I was super amped to watch it.
I just like watching him roll at all. Like, he's super exciting to watch. And then he, I don't
he's
know.
He's, like, cerebral in an interesting way.
When you look at, like, some of the losses he has, it's against, like, really high-caliber guys. Like, JT Torres beats him on, like, points or something at Worlds.
Yeah.
It's not, like, and so he'll take, like, third at Worlds, so, like, you might not have heard of him. I mean, people in the community have heard of him, obviously.
Yeah, but he's not.
But, like, he's not, like, a huge name. But right. It's like, fuck, man. Like, he's really only losing to really top caliber guys. And then he's submitting a lot of guys. Like,
dude,
he's like
submitted Hossam Rita.
Yeah.
Like, right when Hossam got black belt, like, right after that big quintet run that Rita made. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, some, like, super fight in a, it was, like, a Chinese MMA promotion ran the super fight between these two guys. And he, like, submitted Rita, like, relatively quickly, and it was like, oh shit, like,
yeah.
You kind of forget how
he's
good Lachlan is. He is, and he's been ADCC before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has.
Like, I think he was there. Did he do 17? He might have been hurt.
15 or 17, like one of the.
I don't remember. I know 15. He did EBI like 7.
You've seen him around.
Something.
He's really good.
Yeah.
ADCC Asian Trials was another opportunity to watch him grapple. I think he's really cool. He's really like cerebral when he grapples. So mm-hmm. The footage is all up on that YouTube page. Go back and watch it. Also, you wait to watch Rukako Yuasa just crush through her bracket, and she fights a bunch of wrestlers, and it's like it's really interesting to watch just her game in Nogi, because it's basically the same thing as her Gi game,
yeah,
and just with Nogi grip. So it's like a spider guard, like weird, almost like inverted game, and she does it Nogi, and you're like, how are you that good?
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Let's see. I think that's all I got for news. Let's move on to the recaps.
Cool.
Under a recap of Fight to Win 113 in Reno, Nevada, this event was main evented by Kanan Duarte versus Tanner Rice and paid out about $27,000. There's a typo on the payout, so I don't have the exact number, but it's about $27,000 it looks like. So we're going to start. Let's start at the top of this one. Let's start at Kanan Duarte versus Tanner Rice. Kanan Duarte is really fucking good. Dude, he starts this matchup and hits like, not even like a Tominagi, like a guard pull immediately into like a Tominagi, like, into mount.
It wasn't even like a toe out. He's like rolled over. It's like he pulled guard and rolled over into mount. It's like he blocked his shoulder and like rolled over into mount.
It was
pretty
beautiful.
Nuts.
It was just like,
yeah.
Whoa.
It was immediate too. It wasn't like some like
10 seconds in. Like he gripped up and then
that,
like sat and then
yeah.
Threw.
Yeah.
And then ended up in like mount. It was really cool because you saw him like pulling and pushing at the same time on the gi to like get the pressure that he wanted from, on Rice to like mm-hmm. get the control he wanted. And then it was like dominating top position. He went for like an Ezekiel at one point. He was going for the arm.
Yeah.
He was trying to isolate it. Like
he probed with pretty much every topside mount attack I could think of.
Yeah,
cross collar, tried it.
Tried it.
Freaking
Ezekiel
tried
it.
Arm
bar.
Separation.
Yep.
Arm triangle. On like both arms. Like if he put an arm up past like his own shoulder, he was going for an arm lock.
Oh yeah.
Like he tried pretty much every submission until like. Tanner Rice kind of tried to like Upa out of a lot of it, which he kind of did. He defended really well considering.
Yeah. I mean, he defended really well. I was super because Duarte is a finisher, so
yeah.
It was interesting to see how well Rice defended for as long as he did. And again, he didn't tap him, he decisioned him.
Yeah.
And he was deep, he's kind of not deep in the armbar the one time towards the end where they were kind of falling off the edge
yeah,
of the
they
mat.
Had like, they had like 30 seconds left or something.
Yeah.
And it was in Tanner's open guard. Like kind of they just broken out of like a 50-50 where it looked like Tanner might have kind of come up on a sweep. He could have gotten a sweep if he came up but didn't.
Right.
I think he was honestly just gassed out from like being mounted for that long.
Because I think you also saw Duarte had like the hooks in and then from the mount and mm-hmm. like arching in, like putting a lot
yeah.
of pressure for good
crazy,
portion.
Crazy,
like
crazy good control.
Yeah, and you can, and honestly, one of the hallmarks of Duarte that everyone talks about is just how heavy his top pressure is and how heavy like his grips are. Like he's a tritive to roll with. Is
yeah.
like kind of the vibe you get from everyone that talks about rolling with him is that he's just a beast.
Yeah.
So again, really interesting match. It's cool to see Duarte going up against another veteran black belt in Tanner Rice, because Tanner Rice has been competing at the world stage for 5 years now at black belt.
Yeah, he's like number 6 heavyweight still.
Yeah.
And so he's still a weight class above where Kanan is.
Yeah.
Kanan's at light heavy, so it's like, man, he kind of smashed him, and it was like.
It was just,
know,
again,
weight class difference.
Dude, every time we see Kanan, I'm just more and more impressed with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, dude, been in the black belt less than a year. Like, I'm so excited. Like, Mergali is the only dude to sub him this year, I think. Mm. I don't think Gordon Ryan got him. I think Gordon Ryan pointed him at Moby Pants.
Okay.
That was it. But it's just like, I'm just amazingly impressed every time we cover Duarte with just his black belt. His first year at black belt has been ludicrous.
Yeah.
So, anything else you want to talk about the matchup? You got any more notes on it?
Let me see.
Austin, again, has come with, like, full-size sheets this time of paper and old-school written-out paper notes.
I like how you call written-out things old-school, like pen and paper is not a thing anymore.
It's not. We live in the digital age. Yo, I have them sitting in front of three screens and a phone right now with wireless earbuds. Like, we live in the future, Austin. You're here with ripped-out paper notes written with, like, graphite and sand.
Graphite and sand? Is that what ink's made out of?
I don't know, man. I'm not a math guy.
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
Okay. Let's move on to the next matchup. Amanda Montero defeats Karen Atunes via split decision, and she becomes the fight to win flyweight champion for the ladies in the gi.
Yeah, I think if you're an open guard player, this is a pretty cool match to watch. Amanda Montero is someone to watch for sure for open guard, and then Karen kind of the same thing, but on the opposite side of house for like a closed guard. They kind of had a lot of battles where they both made the exact right decision at the exact right time. So if you're kind of a novice grappler or viewer, may not be the most exciting to watch, but it was definitely super technical. Like,
yeah, if you saw a lot of the right decisions being made in this matchup. It was cool because it moved around a lot, which I like too. There was it didn't get super stalling in any position where I'm like, all right, I'm waiting.
But you could see their games too, and that was the thing that was kind of the point I wanted to make. Like, Karen's on top at one point. She's kind of like in this headquarters position where Amanda has a spider on one bicep. And then what Karen does, which is, I mean, this is like kind of the meta to stop it. She's grabbing like a pant grip of the leg that's not spidered, and she's pinning her shin to the mat. So she can't technical stand up, and she can't really generate a sweep. It's like, man, that's the exact right thing to do. Balanced her weight like perfectly, kind of sitting that like squatty kind of headquarters position on top.
It's that like that middle grounds position.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You're just kind of
like,
waiting.
You're not going to sweep me unless you let go of the spider. And it's like, well, you're not going to pass me unless I let go of it either. Yeah. So it's like, kind of a stall, but like it stalled out like at a stalemate, not necessarily that either one of them was.
Yeah,
like,
it was. I like those positions, and it's interesting to see, especially like this weight class, because it can get real scrambly. Mm-hmm. You see when both players like, oh, that's the correct thing to do. Oh, that's the correct response. Oh, and they kind of sit there where it's like both players are waiting for something to happen, and it's not necessarily a stall. It's just like, I am doing the correct thing in
this
position.
Stalemate's probably the best word.
Yeah, and what's like any move I make is incorrect at this point for both parties. So it's interesting, and then you saw them both kind of work through it and keep the match going. It didn't just sit there like, I'm only going to hold this position. So I appreciated that from the competitors because, like, you saw, okay, we're stalemating. Okay, and we're going to move on here. And both kind of competitors kind of went, okay, we're going to move on from here.
Yeah. Karen, well, I thought the decision was really interesting, too. What did you think about it?
I did split decision.
Yeah, but Amanda won. What do you think? I don't think it was a bad call necessarily. I mean, it was pretty back and forth. But when we talked to Seth before and the guys at Fight to Win, it seemed like submission attempts counted for a lot more, and I felt like Karen had more. She tried a flying triangle at one point that she jumped on, and then she like kind of spun to a knee bar when like the triangle didn't work.
See, in my notes, I don't have that. Like, I don't have a
problem. It didn't get that close. Like the attempt.
Yeah,
but she did have to clear the attempt.
Right.
From what I understood, I would count that as like a submission.
Submission that requires defense.
Yes,
is how it is usually like. A submission that finishes, and then you have like a submission that requires defense, and you have like a submission that did not require defense, but you threw something up, and then you have, if nothing and none of that happens, you have like positional dominance and passing and like aggressiveness,
right?
Slams kind of submission. So,
and I thought it was pretty back and forth too.
Yeah, that's,
so
that's
like,
why I didn't really have a problem with the decision. Like,
I didn't have a problem with it. I was just like, man, if I were trying to score it in my head, I think in this format in particular, I probably went the other way. But a split decision didn't really like. It didn't upset me. I was just like, huh, I wonder what they counted that I didn't see. But it wasn't like a, I'm so upset, how could this possibly go that way, you know?
So if you are curious, go back and watch the match, tell us what you think.
Yeah.
So moving on, you stop me if you want to talk about a particular match.
Okay.
We have Jerry Harlett defeating Dom Hoskins via split decision. We have Sam Rice defeating Patrick Welsh via toe hold.
That was a cool one. Did you watch that one?
I did watch that one.
So...
The way you looked at it, you looked like, did you watch someone? Yeah, I watched that one, yes.
I know, you watch.
Oh, by the way, man,
ever.
Dude, Reno, this car went late.
Yeah.
The finals for this was like at like 1:15 in the morning, and I'm watching it. I was
like eyes bleeding.
This is really cool. And like my eyes would shut for a second. I was like, it's really cool though, I'm watching it. And then my eyes would like slip. I was like, I will definitely catch this on the replay. The entire event's up, so go back and watch it. There's a lot, I don't say, there's a lot of really like good back and forth matches on this card. Like, it was a super fun card to watch.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So yeah, Sam, it seemed like he ran through his whole game like kind of verbatim, like exactly what he wanted to get done. Like, it seemed very strategic and like planned out. So we open with a guard pull to like a Tomo. Shouts out to Patrick. He had like a really good like balancing act through it and ended up in his closed guard. But then it just seemed like Sam had the meta game dialed. It's like
he had the answers at that point.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And you saw him like, all right, I'm gonna do this. And it was like it was real like veteran. You just saw like he knew what he was gonna do.
So what ended up happening is Patrick stands the pass like the typical like standing. I'm gonna zipper your collar, pin the other hand, standing pass, and so. Like, Rice almost, like, immediately bails on it, ends up hitting, like, this knee bar from, like, this 50-50 kind of position. But it seemed – and then he switched to a toe hold for the finish. And it seemed like, oh, okay, it's like, I'll try the knee bar. It's not there. Cool, I'll try the toe hold. Like, it just seemed like –
he just kind of walked on the positions. And
yeah,
was
but
like,
it's
oh,
like
– I do this then.
Like, when people do this in my closed guard, this is what I try. If that doesn't work, I try this thing. It's like, you saw exactly the –
and you knew if, like, the toe hold wasn't going to work, like, he would have the next thing. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool. Like, I love watching grapplers like that for, like, match study because you can look at – a series of matches, like, oh, this is what he does here.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes him kind of easy to game plan against, and at the high level, like, that can be kind of problematic, but then you have a guy that gets really, really good at it, and it's like, cool, you know what he's going to do, you can't stop it anyway, but I like guys like this for match study, because, like, oh, you see him make the decision, and, like, this is what he draws, this is what he does here.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it was cool.
Yeah, because it wasn't necessarily, like, Patrick Welsh made a bunch of mistakes. It was like, oh, he just had that part of his game ready to go.
Yeah, he's ready. You're a black belt competitor. Like, you've drilled what you want to do. You know what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a fun match.
Yeah, it was a cool match.
Next, we have Shannon Kolos defeating Matthew Chamundong via Kimura, and that was Fight of the Night for the black belts. I'm reading the names now because we had a rough go at it last time.
I don't know how you took over doing it, but that's cool. Yeah, Shannon Kolos, Matt Chamundong. That was a really cool fight. It had a ton of action. Both guys are really good wrestlers. So early on, you saw like really, really cool takedown exchanges, a lot of scrambles.
It was a really back and forth match. Like it was a fun match through and through. Deservedly Fight of the Night for the black belts. Like I think it gets it based on action. Like it's just like these dudes were going, and it was like
they were going for it. I have a bunch of exchanges written out that I won't read to you just for like the sake of brevity because it's literally like this guy tries this submission, this guy escapes, tries this submission,
yeah,
the other guy tries it, but like. I think the big thing
like,
to take away,
they traded back and forth like a bunch of times. It was just like, he'd do one, he'd do the other. It was almost like they were like, it almost kind of looked like a floor roll. When I watched it, I was like, I know they're competing. I know they're going super hard. But it looks like one guy tries, the other guy tries.
Yeah, if you
one
ever watch
tries,
the
other guy tries.
Like Bill Cooper, Jeff Glover, like floor rolls back in the day where they're like exchanging submissions. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. Never happened in real life, but that's really cool. This probably about as close to it would get in real life.
Well, there was a couple turnovers where I was like, wait, did the other guy just do this exact same sub from this position a minute ago?
Oh, well, yeah. Well like, Kalos, it seemed like the main focus of his game is Kimura control, like the Kimura trap system. And that's what ended up winning him the fight at the end. But, like, there were a bunch of spots where Matt did the exact right thing to get out of it. It's like, he has Kimura from, like, bottom side control, bottom half or something, Kalos I'm talking about. And then Matt, like, does that big front roll over his shoulder and then turns back into him quick enough
that he can't.
Really
quickly.
Yeah, so that he can't take his back. But it's like, man, like.
He did it, like, twice,
exact,
I think.
Yeah, that's
I
the exact right thing. Because he ended up on his back, like, a bunch of times. He ended up on Kalos's back a bunch of times, like, from doing that.
This is a fun match. I forgot how fun this match was.
Yeah,
this
was
like,
really
a deservedly fight of the night. This is actually one you should go back and rewatch. Like,
for sure.
I might watch this and actually shoot this over to Emil. Like, hey, Emil, is this a rerun recommends? Because he is the curator of Atlas, but this is a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun one.
You got anything else for this one?
No, that's it. Definitely check it out, especially if you're a fan of Kimura Control.
It was dope. Next match, we have Brian Chagg defeating Chuck Rooney via toe hold. We got Chad Bingham defeating Kaiser Sulabayev via choke, and that was submission of the night for the black belts.
Yeah, Chad Bingham, I met him at that same Sarah McMahon seminar like 3 years ago.
The
one
at Beta?
Yeah, Beta, Grapplethon. He's a pretty high-level black belt. He was just there I think he dates Sarah McMahon or something. But I don't know.
Just the way you said that, like, I think, like zero confidence
I
whatsoever. You
I
were
mean,
just like, I mean,
like,
maybe this is a thing that happens?
It wasn't like he dropped that in conversation. Like, oh, see her over there?
I would hope
I date
not.
Her.
I would
like,
hope not.
That was not a conversation we had. But, yeah, he looked pretty slick. It was like a leg rope where he jumps to the opposite side, like a pass that looked really cool. And then he ended up attacking, like, a Kimura armbar kind of setup. Then ended up bowing and arrowing. So it was like a really cool transition between those like three moves, like back to back to back, that I think got him the submission of the night.
Yeah, it was the whole series was just like, and kind of, you saw him roll through again, go through like a game that he's obviously drilled really, really heavily to get to the position, get to the bow and arrow, and just finish it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because most of the match up to that point was kind of this really protracted, like knee shield half guard battle where Chad was on top. So it took like a long time, like for him to pass his guard. But then once he passed his guard, it was like
the series get going.
Yep, the rat traps kind of went off.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was a cool match.
Next match, we have Garrett Aldrich defeating Art Emerson via split decision. We have Nicholas Green defeating Kevin Thompson via split decision. Under the judo match, there was only one judo match on this card. We had give me that, Emil. I mean, give me that.
Can't even get my name right, dude.
Austin.
Jesus.
Man, it's 1 a.m. in the morning right now. Like, I got work in a couple hours.
What's a work, and how does that work?
Talia Walt defeating Jana Van Witbeck.
Yeah.
And she defeats her by choke. And Austin and I talked about this before we recorded the show because, so the judo rules for Fight to Win are like old school judo rules, but if you get to the ground, they give you 30 seconds to work, and then if, you know, there's nothing in 30 seconds, they stand him up. But this match, we thought on the ground went a little longer than 30 seconds. We kind mm-hmm. of talked about why we thought that happened. And I thought it was because the choke, because Walt had the choke so deep, and it looked like Witbeck was like almost tapping a couple times, doing an outstanding job of like changing. It was a clock choke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, like, she was following with her hips for like a really long time until she got to turtle.
And you heard the 30-second bell go off, and it looked like the choke was like in and like done and like dead to rights, and it had looked like that for like 10 seconds, and
yeah.
They still fought, and you saw Seth looking at him. I'm not sure if Seth didn't know the time or was like, look, I'm not gonna stand them up.
I think it was probably the latter, man. I think it was like the choke was deep enough. It was a pretty solid clock choke. So I'm pretty sure that
judo players are really, for some reason, of all the chokes, judo players have really dope clock chokes.
Probably just from nasty grips from gripping, like, standing all the time.
I feel like it's one of, like, the few chokes that you can do in judo. Like, there's bow and arrow choke, and there's the mm-hmm. clock choke. I feel like the way the rule set is structured, like, you can't, like, do guillotines and other stuff. Like, you have to do, like, those are the chokes that
sure
are available
to
you.
I'm not sure if it's, like, because of the rule set or because so many people turtle. Because if you go to your back, you get scored on.
That
like
makes sense.
Any rule set. So it's, like, if you roll to your turtle, that's the choke that's there the most. And it also makes sense, like, that belly down armbar is there because turtle's there so much.
Right. Huh. I've never thought about that. That's why they're so good, is because the meta for judo fosters the turtle.
Yeah. I think that's probably more what it is.
She hit it from, so good.
The throw she did was, like, I think she did, like, Tani Otoshi. And that typically ends up with somebody not on their back, but, like, in their turtle. So
yeah,
that makes
a lot of
sense.
If it doesn't get all the way through, it's Tani. So, mm-hmm. interesting. Walt gets the clock choke. Mm-hmm. Dope clock choke. And I love watching judo people clock choke because
yeah.
there's very few jiu-jitsu people that do it as well. Like, judo people just have they have nifty setups for it. They have nifty sit-throughs. They know how to put the pressure up, and they can get it usually pretty quickly because they have that limited time to work on the ground.
Yeah. It was also cool, like, this is like a weird AV nerd thing, but the camera angle was like perfect for it.
Oh, my God.
Like, you could see her face, and you could see your hand tapping, which doesn't always happen in grappling matches, so shout out to the production team at Fight to Win for catching that.
That's awesome. So moving on to the brown belts, we have Vince Barbosa defeating Troy and the Night Pigeon Everett via head and arm choke. This is a lot of fun. This is, I think, Troy's first shot at a belt in like 20 Fight to Win appearances. And Vince Barbosa is, I think, the current PANS champion for the Masters division.
Yeah.
Dude, this is a fun match.
Yeah.
So both of them throwing a lot of subs up.
Yeah. Troy had a lot of snap down guillotine attempts, which I thought was really cool. But you could definitely tell that was like the thing he was gunning for.
Dude,
lots of guillotine attempts.
Arm and guillotine. Troy Everett does like a couple things, but he will snap you down to an arm and guillotine, mm-hmm. and he will darce you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is his bread and butter game.
Yeah, I think Vince just had
a head and arm choke too. But
yeah, Vince had a ton of like different types of submission attempts. There was at some point he was attacking like an ankle lock, kind of heel hook. Troy like kind of kept his composure. He ended up sweeping, getting on top. Troy had like a really cool like butterfly attempt. It just seemed like Vince was really attacking the entire time, and Troy was kind of battling back and just kind of couldn't put it all together enough to like sustain an attack.
It was one of those momentum fights.
Yes.
Where it's like you saw Vince, like it was kind of even on the feet, and I thought Troy was like, oh, he's getting close to the snapdown, and then he got to the ground, and you saw Troy kind of like, you saw the momentum kind of shift towards Vince, and then you saw Vince sort of take more ground, and eventually he was able to like get the head, get the arm kind of trapped up, and lock the head and arm choke and get the finish. So he becomes the Masters Nogi middleweight champion for Fight to Win.
That sums up really well. I don't think I have much else to say.
It's a fun match overall. Next match, we have Ryan Jennerjohn defeating Anton Green Gibson via heel hook. We have Minor Jimenez Morales defeating Scott Christensen via decision. We have Clint Treadwell defeating Tim Flagon via leg lace calf crush. We have Joseph McKay defeating William Salvo via split decision. That was Friday night for the brown belts. We have Frankie DiMartino. Is that right?
Yeah, DeMartino.
DeMartino defeating Albert Tapia via decision. We have Roman Schlomberg defeating Dan Dykeman via ankle lock, and that was submission of the night for the brown belts. On to the purple belts. We got Zach. Give me that name, the last name.
Falcons
defeating. We want to try the purple belts now?
Sure. All Zach right. Falcons defeats Ray Carnwright. Choke. That was also
submission. And that was submission of the night for the purple belts. I say like one thing. Let me say submission of the night. Next
keep
match.
Going.
Yeah, keep going.
Tim Principe defeats Brian Beck via Ezekiel. Courtney Dubois defeats Kyrie Fontana. Fontana. I don't know.
Fontana by rear naked choke. Lucas Espinoza defeats RJ Ward via choke, and that was fight of the night for the purple belts.
AJ Leal defeats Phil Watson via heel hook.
Look, you can get him wrong. You just got to be confident about it. Like, dude, 80 episodes in. Ooh. Actually, like, more than that because we've done bonus shows. Mm-hmm. Like, just be confident and then apologize at the end. We have it built into the bumper of an apology. Like, at the end of our show, we, you know, say, like, hey, subscribe to us and, like, rate us 5 stars. And, like, oh, by the way, if you've never done that, please leave us a review on iTunes and tell your friends about the show because that's really the best way that we go to the show, and we really appreciate that. That's basically what the bumper sounds like at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. So if we butcher your name and you would like us to correct that in the future,
all the hate mail to me.
When we cover you, it all comes to me anyway. Mm-hmm. Let us know, and I'll try to pronounce your name more effectively in the future. We've had a couple people reach out to us on behalf of their friends, people at their gym, and on behalf of themselves. Like, hey, my name is actually this. This is the correct pronunciation of it. Please start doing that. So
fair enough. On to the next one.
Autumn
Norton defeats Nicole Johnson via split decision. Zeth Martin defeats Adam Johnson via choke. Matthew McCrary defeats Tommy Cervantes via choke. Racon Savath defeats David Park via guillotine. Rebecca Tamada defeats Deborah Lopez via decision. Jason Puig defeats Caleb Lancaster. Doesn't say how.
Aaron Matthews Fez defeats Rodney Van Corman via Kimura. Under the blue belt results, we have Kelly McKay defeating Ashley Silver via Kimura. We have McKay Mitchell defeating Trish Getzman via armbar, and that was submission of the night for the blue belts. We have Aaron Gonzalez defeating Zach Dell via north-south choke. We have Destin Russell defeating Daniel Davis via split decision, and that was fight of the night for the blue belts. We have Patty Jean Southworth defeating Melanie Hernandez, or Hendrickson, via armbar. We have, give me that name.
Karenbin Sebri.
Defeating Eric Swain via decision. We have Alec Myers defeating Richard Welsh via decision. And we have Adrian Chambers defeating Chris Rios via split decision. So that does it for Fight to Win in Rio. The whole event is up. Highly recommend you watch it. Again, it was a lot of fun matches. A lot of really good back and forth matches. Yep. On the card. So that does it. On to the next one. So on to our preview of Polaris 10. This event takes place on Saturday, May 25th, 2019. It's headlined by Uriah Faber versus Nikki Ryan. In an interesting matchup. Like, I'm excited to watch it, but
yeah,
I don't really know what Uriah's a good wrestler. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. He's a good MMA fighter. He's a good MMA grappler.
Yeah.
And we've seen him on Quintet. We've seen him do submission grappling, like,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, Quintet's mostly the stuff I've seen him in. He did,
that's really,
he did an ADCC trials, maybe, like, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, as a brown belt.
And then
is he still a brown belt?
I assume he's a black belt now.
Okay.
I think he's been a black belt for a little bit now.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense.
But Nikki Ryan is Nikki Ryan.
Yeah. I don't know what he's going to have for Nikki Ryan.
Dude, we've
really
seen Nikki Ryan
In a sub-only format? Like, what is he going to really...
We've seen Nikki Ryan run through so many, like, competitive, current, like, top-level black belts. Mm-hmm. Compete with them, at least. Like, we saw him versus Jim Martinez. We saw him, like, choke Keith Kerkorian, which nobody fucking chokes Keith Kerkorian.
Right.
Like, we've seen him just be on a tear recently. We've seen him smash a number of, like, older Japanese MMA fighters and mm-hmm. Japanese grappling standouts in, like, Polaris before and, like, Quintet. Like,
yep.
I don't know what Uriah's path to victory in this matchup is.
Maybe,
but
I'm
it's a hard ass.
Guillotine him? That's, like, all I can really think of.
Yeah, I mean,
he has a really, really tight squeeze because he has that wrestling background.
He has a dumb, and honestly, all the alpha male guys have a dumb guillotine. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a real good guillotine. They can sub anyone in the world with it. I just don't see them. I don't see any way that.
I feel like that's not the most dangerous tool to use against, like, such a highly skilled grappler like Nikki Ryan. Do you know what I mean? It'd be one thing if it's like, oh, I have this toe hold. It's like, yeah, because you can kind of catch toe holds from anywhere. Like, guillotines are something that you can kind of be a little more, I don't know, you can kind of steel yourself to a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
I mean, it could happen.
It could still happen.
There
might be a strength disparity where, like, he can just get a nasty snap down or something.
Dude, Nikki's getting bigger.
Yeah, I believe
it. He has to cut to
make. He's a grown man. He's a growing boy. I was going to say grown man. He's a growing boy.
17 now?
Yeah,
he's like,
sounds right.
He's big now.
Yeah.
Like, I would assume he's honestly probably bigger than Uriah going into this matchup now.
Mm, don't know. Your eye's pretty damn thick.
He is thick, but he's a 35er. Like, it'll be interesting. I foresee Nikki taking this one either by rear naked choke or by heel hook. Yeah. I honestly, it wouldn't surprise me that he's pathing to the back and he's still working, getting into ADCC, like pathing to the back. He's going to probably use the Kimura system to path to the back to get the rear naked choke. I assume he'll probably finish starting over the face and then slide it underneath the chin and get the finish.
I would assume he uses that same system that, that a lot of the Danaher guys use with like the body triangle, trapping the arm under the leg.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he decides to wrestle with Uriah, though, with ADCC coming up, because Uriah is honestly a pretty decent wrestler.
He's a really good wrestler, I think.
So, yeah, she is. Yeah, he's a really good wrestler. It'll be interesting to see if he kind of tries to get the work in this setting leading up to ADCC, if he's using this as an ADCC kind of training thing or if he's using this as like a showcase matchup. Because, honestly, Uriah is a similar size, really good grappler, veteran competitor.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting. I foresee him getting the finish that way, but I'm curious to see how long they spend on the feet before it goes down. So you got anything else on that matchup?
No, I think it's
at featherweight, actually, as well. It's a nogi bout. So next matchup, we have Mateus Lutz versus Craig Jones. Dude, this is exciting. Mateus has looked awesome. Craig Jones has looked awesome. We saw him against Argus. Like, since the Argus matchup at Grapple Fest, Craig Jones has kind of looked like he reinvented himself a little bit, and he's less married to that, like, Z-guard, knee-shield, saddle, entry. That's the only thing he's going to do. Mm-hmm. He looks more apt to do other stuff. I don't know if this is for the title, because I know Craig Jones took the title off Keenan last time, so it may be for a title as well. Wouldn't surprise me.
Is it the same weight class?
I do not know.
Because it says middleweight. Here we have it says middleweight, but I'm not sure
Craig
if it's the same.
I thought Craig Jones was the middleweight champion. Might have been light heavyweight, but I thought he was the middleweight last time. I should know this as a, quotes here, professional grappling guy.
Professional grappling analyst.
Analyst guy. And you guys can't see the quotes, but they're super hard air quotes here. This is exciting. Like, Mateus Lutz is a great top pressure grappler from that from Marcelo Garcia. We've seen him. Who did he just beat?
You can ask me that question. You would definitely know. If you don't know, I don't know.
He just beat a dude recently that was a monster on some card we've covered in the last 2 weeks. But it's 1:30 in the morning. So I do not remember right now. This is exciting. This basically, I think this is either Craig gets to the back or gets to the heel hook. I would honestly see. I foresee him with Lutez pulling. And then Lutez, you know, really heavy pressure passing, but potentially can get past Craig's legs. He might be. Dude, Lutez passing is absurd. The way he barrels into people and just, like, the level of pressure and intensity that he throws at the beginning of a match and his passing sequences, I could see him getting past Craig Jones' legs. Now, how long he's going to stay there and before Craig, like, inverts and gets back out.
That's kind of more my thoughts. Like, you get a pass. Maybe you would get points if it's, like, a point setting, but I don't know. That's kind of what Craig specializes in, is like inverting off of your like pass attempt and then getting back into like a leg lock.
Yeah. So, again, it wouldn't surprise me either way to see Lutez just like stall, throw a north south choke super hard, potentially even get past like the mount here and mount Jones and like work from the top. It also wouldn't surprise me at all to see Jones like invert and then go hard onto the legs and put Lutez on the defensive early.
Yeah.
So, again, I actually can't pick a matchup for this one. Neither outcome would surprise me. I kind of favor Jones a little bit just because he's been competing at the black belt level longer. I think Lutez is still technically a brown belt.
Is he really?
I think he's, again, it's in quotes there, like a monster brown belt.
Right.
I could be wrong about that, but I think Jones just has a little bit of the edge at the black belt level and experience, so I potentially would favor him. He's also more familiar with the Polaris format.
Yeah, I would say the format's probably going to be the deal breaker. He's definitely more of a sub-only guy than points.
Definitely.
Not that he can't win on points.
Well, Polaris is the 15 minutes, so they judge it by rounds. So they don't actually have rounds. They have that 15-minute format, and they judge it each 5-minute section of the match, but they don't stop the match. I kind of like the format.
That's cool.
Sometimes it runs a little long, but overall, like, I'm a big fan of Polaris. Like, I like the matchups they put on. I like the guys they showcase. And this is honestly a really fun style matchup. I think it'll kind of bring out – I hope it'll bring out the best in both guys.
Yeah.
So on to the next match, we have Ash Williams versus Ethan Krellenstein. This is fun. I think both these guys are in ADCC. I know Krellenstein is. Krellenstein won the East Coast Trials for ADCC a while back. And they've done some really cool promo packages. Oh, yeah. Polaris is doing a bunch of, like, promo packages leading up to this. And they're talking with all the grapplers about like their matchups, and like they toss to Josh Palmer, who's the commentator for Polaris, about like how he thinks matchups are going, and like there's some really interesting little analytical pieces that they're posting on all their social media. Like Polaris is killing it with the lead up for this. It's made me excited about so many matchups, and this matchup is a lot of fun. I could really see Kronstein getting the back here, but
yeah, I saw a lot. Speaking of like the marketing and like the lead up promotion stuff, I saw a lot of like Gary Tonin in the last week talking about Nicky Ryan, Uriah Faber, since they've trained together before.
Yeah.
Not to backtrack, but I thought that was some pretty interesting anecdotes he had about.
It was a while ago though, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they've trained together, but it was a while ago, and I didn't remember that, but it was kind
of
cool.
Which probably makes more of a difference for Nicky than Uriah, because I doubt Uriah's developed so much in the last couple of years.
No, you kind of
got. But Nicky is, you know, he's coming into his own as like an adult, so like.
Right.
They trained
together
for
Quintet, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, Gary was talking about that a little bit in the promo stuff. It was cool. Like I love all of that behind the scenes, like lead up and promo, and like that's kind of what we do on this show. Is like we look at stuff before it happens, and then we talk about it. And I think about the matchups, and then usually in our team chat, like we throw like how do you think this is going to go. Like we were talking about Margolli versus Keenan, like you know the pathway that Margolli has to victory, the pathway that Keenan has for victory.
Right.
When we get close to that matchup, we'll talk. You know, as a whoever's on the show that week, we'll talk about that matchup. But like. That's one of the things that kind of gets me going. So I love when promotions do that ahead of their cards. I'm like, hey, we're talking to this guy's coach, and we're talking to this commentator. We're talking to, like, this person on the card. Like, what's your path to victory? What are you looking at? Like, I just enjoy that. If you're going to make grappling a professional sport that gets covered, like, you need those, like, show pieces. You can't just broadcast a card with, like,
the production value contributes so much. Like, if you think about, like boxing or, like football or something, those 24/7 or those Hard Knocks, like where they show the training camps and like you see how hard these dudes are working. You kind of see them grappling with like other big studs and like how they're doing against them, and then talking through their kind of their game plan, their mentality. That stuff like gets you hyped. Like,
dude, it gets me so hyped.
It's like, a story, right? Like you get to see what goes into a match, not just like, ah, here's two guys grappling. It's like, nah, this dude gave up partying for like his 20th birthday, you know, or whatever it might have been.
It's the story behind it.
I love
that kind of stuff, and it gives me more. I don't need any more buy-in, but it gives me more buy-in to watch and to be excited about certain matchups with certain guys, because you kind of know what they're doing, you know their game plan, you know what their coach is concerned about. It's like I like that, and I'm really excited that Polaris is doing more of that, and they're doing a really good job with it too.
Yep.
Like it's not just in front of a camera guy. Like they have the audio in the background. They're doing like some rolling footage, coming back to the commentator, kind of.
Right.
It's like it's done in a really, really good way, and I'm like Polaris is just killing it with like the production quality recently. So on to the next match, we have Kyle Uno versus Lee Rem. I know his name. I can never when I read it, I can never read it. Now Remondalos, Remondalos. Fuck, man. We can't do this. This is the latest we've ever done a show.
Remedios.
Next matchup, we have Richie Martinez versus Maya Pervaka?
Pirovic.
And we have Ash Williams versus Nick Rodriguez. Dude, Nick Rodriguez.
Ash Amos.
Oh, my God, man. Ash. There's two guys named Ash on the card, which is my problem. Ash Amos versus Nick Rodriguez. Nick Rodriguez gave the funniest, like, promo I've ever seen for a grappler.
Did he? I have to go back and watch. I didn't see it.
Dude, I sent it to you on Instagram.
That doesn't mean anything.
It was basically like, I don't watch anyone. I just go out there and do what I do. You know, it was super cocky.
Yeah.
But it was also super matter of fact of like.
We just talked about that.
Yeah.
I don't care about humility when it comes to entertainment.
Yeah. We talked for like 30 minutes before we did the episode of like, you know, what we liked about certain cocky grapplers or certain cocky guys in like fighting or other sports like LeBron. We went through a whole big thing on talking about like perception and like people as role models. And Austin and I are both in the camp of like, look, if you fight good, I don't really care what you do.
Yeah. I'll just throw the one quick example we had out of, like, the 90 that we swap back and forth.
Yeah.
It was, like, Anderson Silva when he lost to Chris Weidman. There's, like, a gang of potbelly dads with barbecue sauce stains on their shirts talking about, oh, that's what you get for showboating. I'm like, you get 11 world title championship defenses? Like, I'll take that. I'll showboat a little bit then if that's what I get. Like, I don't know what it is where people, like, want everybody to be super humble. And Anderson Silva is very respectful, but I wouldn't call him humble. Like,
God, no.
He knows he's good.
He is good.
And
he knocked
out
Tony Flickin with an upward elbow.
Right.
Have you seen that?
He's knocked out lots of dudes with silly stuff.
The greatest heights of all time. You seen fight Forrest Griffin?
Yes.
I saw that fight. I watched that fight to this day. And then hear Forrest Griffin talk about it to this day.
All of his fights were exciting. Even when he loses, his fights are exciting. With the exception of like Damian Maya.
Okay, the one fight that was
a couple fights here and there. But like, an exciting fighter. Same thing with like this. Like
same thing with Nick Rodriguez.
If Nick Rodriguez wants to be cocky, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
Keep winning, I'm going to keep letting you be cocky. It's great to watch.
Same thing with Gordon Ryan.
Yeah.
It's like, you keep winning. Like
call yourself the king until somebody beats you. It's great.
Like,
I like it.
And even if someone beats you, it's like, okay, one guy beats you. Like,
yeah.
Like until like a gang of guys beats you, then it's like, okay, you're cocky for no reason. But until then, you've earned it, kind of.
As long as you're clever, too. Like, there's definitely people who are good and they're cocky, but they're not really that funny. They're just trying to, like, play a role to sell tickets, which is fine. Do your thing.
Nick Rodriguez, I've met him a couple times now. Mm-hmm. Genuine.
Yeah.
That's just who he is.
I like it.
But I also like his mindset going into these. Mm-hmm. He's talking about his mindset for ADCC. And, like, whenever he gets on the mat, he's like, I deserve to be here, and I'm better than whoever I'm fighting, and I'm going to beat them. And, like,
that's great.
That's his mindset going into all these matchups. And, like, doesn't do tape study. He's like, I'm going to go out there and do what I do, and then I can be able to stop me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, good luck.
It served him well so far.
It's a 105-kilogram catch weight. Like, these are big dudes.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. It's at the matchup that opens the main card. Preliminary card is loaded with a bunch of other fun grapplers. I think the whole thing is on Fight Pass, which is awesome because I think Fight Pass is one of the best like interfaces to watch grappling for any event because they have like submission attempts get put up there. You can look at like match start out, like walk out, walk in. Like I like that it makes like tabbing through events really, really easy.
Mm-hmm.
And for us and for me that covers a ton of grappling every weekend, makes it awesome. So anything else on this card?
No, man. I think
awesome.
We got it.
Let's move on to the next one. So under our preview of Finisher Sub Only 9, this event takes place on May 26th at Pure Mixed Martial Arts, 21 Pine Street, Unit 12, Rockaway, New Jersey. I was at the last one. It was a lot of fun. I highly recommend if you're in the area, go to this one. This one is an all-female card showcasing the women of Jiu-Jitsu in basically the U.S. and the East Coast area. Really excited about this one. This is going to be a 16-woman bracket, 115 pounds, and that's for $2,500, which is a pretty decent payout.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's awesome. And then it also features an undercard with women and then a three female super fights. So at this point, I'm not exactly certain what ones are the super fights. Never mind. I found them. We have Sophie Sharp versus Lilian Ramos. We have Kate Gonzalez versus Lauren
Strausser.
We have – give me the names here.
Tara Heber. Versus Mona Bailey.
Mona Bailey. We've seen her on it. We've seen her on a bunch of stuff. She's looked really, really good. I've seen her win a bunch. Like she's been on a tear. I think she ran into someone like real, real tough, like a real tough brown belt on it. They gave her some problems. And I think might have finished her last time I've seen her. But I think that might have been the only time I've seen her lose recently. Has looked really good every time I've seen her out. Next match we have Aslan O'Connell versus Laura Kent. That's Laura writes for MMA News. We use her articles really, really frequently when we cover a lot of stuff on the East Coast, especially a lot of stuff with the 10th Planet people in it. She does a lot of that, a lot of the write-up for it. So it's awesome to see her grapple. I'm not sure if we actually covered her on Superfight before, so that would be good. There's a number of other women on this card. I'm trying to figure out exactly who is in the Superfight card versus who is in the actual tournament. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but I highly recommend if you're in the area. This should be streaming with Show the Art on Facebook. Sorry, on YouTube. The production's usually great. Jake Buda does the commentary for it. Again, I can't say enough great things about this event. It's a lot of fun. If you're in the area, attend it. Definitely one to watch. I'll be looking forward to recapping this next week. So on to our preview of Combat Jiu-Jitsu Worlds. This event takes place on Sunday, May 26th in Long Beach, California. Starts at 5 p.m. I want to assume that is West Coast time, so it's going to be starting super late. This is a 16-man Combat Jiu-Jitsu 135-pound event. We have returning champion Gio Martinez. We have Ben Eddy. We have Hideo Tokoro. We have – give me that next name.
Michael Perez.
We have Nick Holstein. We have – give me the name.
Ara Muradayan.
We got Nick Pace. We have Sharon Moran. We have Tyan Yuasa. We have Randy
Villarreal.
We have Barrett Yoshida. We have Gabriel Daffron. That's fucking Austin Daffron. Duck Jitsu. We saw him win one of the earlier finishers a little bit ago, and he got a bid to Ultimate Mat Warriors and actually won Ultimate Mat Warriors 4 versus Marcelo Cohen, actually. And then I think that was a semifinal matchup, so he's definitely a dude to watch. I want to say there's a bunch of guys in the tournament who can take it. We have James Barnes in this. We have Richard Alicorn. We have Pablo Alfonso and Marcelo Cohen. Speak of the devil. There he is. So, dude, I think there's like, honestly, there's a bunch of guys in this rule set could take it. Like Martinez could take it. Benedict could take it. Hideo Tokuro could take it.
It's so tough to tell when you add slaps in. Like,
and you, dude, Yoshida has a ton of MMA experience. Mm-hmm. Like, but a lot of these guys, like Cohen and Dafrin, are like standout jiu-jitsu guys in the sub only scene. Like, have looked good in the rule set. They're also like, Dafrin's younger. He's actively adding stuff to his skill set. Mm-hmm. Like guys like Nick Pace, and like there's everyone on this card. Honestly, this is a really, really well matched card.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I mean, and then guys like Gio are always front runners to take whatever event they're in because he's just, you know, a pretty monster grappler against all sizes and styles.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see bantamweights with strikes because it'll move so much faster than some of the heavier guys, like heavy handed heavy guys.
Yeah.
So it'll be pretty interesting. I
feel like guys will be much more willing to move in bad positions versus the heavy guys where it's like, all right, I got to kind of shell up here and move and like kind of be more conservative with my movements because, A, like there's a gas tank put there, but also, B, like that dude hits me, like it's problematic. The bantamweights, we've seen KOs at bantamweight before. I think one of the two KOs we saw was a bantamweight KO. But I feel like last time we saw the bantamweights out, there's a kind of a pace and an action here that is pushed at that weight class that I really enjoy, especially given all of like just all of the names you have here. Like there's a bunch of dudes that could definitely take this. So this is exciting. I'm more excited about this than I initially was. These have been a little weird in the past, but honestly, the last one finished in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
I want to say. So there are probably some super fights thrown in there as well. Look for it. Again, it's on Fight Pass. It's one of the easiest ways to watch grappling. You can jump through stuff really easily. For us, it's really awesome to cover things on Fight Pass. But, May 26th. Anything else awesome?
Nope.
All right, that'll do it. So, one to our preview of Sogi 2. This event takes place on May 25th in East Coast MMA Fitness in Hicksville, New York. Not New Jersey, New York. This one features a women's absolute 16 women no-gi tournament with EBI rules, as well as a four-team quintet challenge. This will be Sogi's second event. They also have a number of super fights, like, I'm going to find the name here, Jordan Holy versus, Nick Gulo. We've seen both these guys before. We've covered both these guys before. I'm sorry, guys. It's about 2 a.m. I'm starting to lose it. I realize that it is past my bedtime. We have a lot of cool names in the Women's 16 tournament. I'm going to run through a couple of them that we see really frequently. We have Nicole Kent. We have Abby Passanelli. We have Jillian Peterson. We have Chelsea Chandler. We have Laura Kent in this one as well. We have Amanda Levy, who is the ADCC West Coast Trials winner, took that over Maggie Ghirardotti with that like fall over armbar. Looked really impressive recently. Austin nodded his head at me like he was going to say something and then didn't say anything. So that'll be a lot of fun. The event should be – that bracket should be really good. I think it's streaming on the Sogi Facebook page, is where it's going to be streamed last time, and then it may be streamed on YouTube this time. The quintet, team versus team, we have Team SAS versus Team 10th Planet, and we have Team Fellowship of the Reap, which is a dope name, versus Pinelands BJJ. So the first two teams, SAS versus 10th Planet, is going to go first, and then Pineland versus Fellowship of the Reap is going to go, and then the winner of both of those two is going to against each other in the finals. So that'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to this one. It should be interesting. There's a number of other super fights on the card as well. Zach Edwards on the card. It looks like a lot of fun. Definitely check it out. All right, Austin, so this is by far, that does it for this week on the show. This is by far the latest we've ever gone. It was 1:45 in the morning, and I am, like, stumbling over words, and I got to get up in, like, 4 or 5 hours for work.
Yeah, man. Lots of extenuating circumstances led us to recording.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about this. So Game of Thrones happened. And I haven't watched. I'm only about 6 seasons behind, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to catch up eventually.
I mean, there's only 7 total, but you're 6 seasons behind.
I'm 5 seasons, 5 and a half seasons behind. Okay. I'm on season 2.
No, there's 8. You're right. There's 8 seasons.
Yeah. Did it just finish?
Mm-hmm.
Do we know who has the stone now?
We sure do.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find out. Like,
I won't spoil it.
Thank you. I'd be upset.
And listeners probably would be too.
Yeah, that's actually reasonable.
Yeah.
Austin.
So I had to watch that first, obviously.
And I thought that was only an hour show.
Wrong.
And then apparently like, it's at the final, so it's an hour and a half. So
yeah, it was 80 minutes.
So Austin will come over at like 10 o'clock at my house. But we hit 10:30. We'll start the show. Mm-hmm. And then like 10:40 rolls around and I'm like, hey, I was like, what's up? On like Messenger, and then no response. And I'm like, I would like to go to sleep. Because I got a bunch of graduation shit for my brother in Annapolis.
That's right. Yeah, you were telling me about it.
Yeah, he's graduating from the Naval Academy, and they have, like, a week of events. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, a whole week of shit that I'm, like, should go to? And it's cool. Like, I'm excited for him to do that. But
yeah,
I also didn't budget to spend a week in Annapolis, like, every evening. So
enjoy that. No, thank you.
Yeah.
I also don't like cadets, but that's because I'm in the Army. But
that's
anyway.
So, yeah, so then Austin texts me at, like, 11:10, and he was like, hey. And then this is the story of what Austin texted me.
Yeah, so I'm driving out of my neighborhood. And, you know, I live in, like, a townhouse. It's not anywhere especially seedy, I wouldn't say.
No, so it's a nice, I don't say it's a pretty good area. It's like, yeah,
I live next to, like, a
we
church.
We live in Baltimore, but, like,
it's Baltimore County.
We live in Baltimore County. Like, it's a nicer area of Baltimore. Like, that's why we both bought property there, because it's a nicer area, and it's not, we both lived in the city before.
Yeah,
we both moved out of the city to move into the county, like, into nicer areas.
It's quiet. So yeah, so I'm on my way driving, I get to, like, an intersection, and a car is kind of parked the opposite way, and it's a one-way street. So I'm like, that's odd. And I kind of glance back in my rear view, and I'm like, that looks like a leg. And then so I kind of take, you know, turn myself around in my seat and see
and
what's
it's,
going
it's,
on.
It's 11:30 right now at
night. Yeah, it's about 11:30.
And Austin's driving.
No one else is out on the road but me and this
driving
car.
To my home so we can record this this week's show.
So I kind of take a second glance, and it is like a splayed out grown woman, just neck on the curb as like a baby pillow, like mid-neck. Like, she looked like she might have fallen out of, like, I don't know, like an airplane or something. She is not laying on the ground the way a normal human would lay on the ground. And so I kind of take a harder look, and I'm like, well, the trunk's open in the car, car's still running. I'm like, let me double back and make sure people aren't dead. So then I had kind of had a better thought, like, it's 11:30 at night, we're in Baltimore, I'm a black dude, and these are white people just, like, laying out in the street. Maybe I should call the cops and not approach them. So I call the cops, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if they're alive or dead or what's going on. I don't see any weapons. Like, maybe you should come check this out. At which point I call Maine, like, hey, I'm in this parking lot staring across yonder at what might be dead bodies. So,
yeah, like,
might
just
be a little bit late.
He just called me. He's like, hey, I got a thing. I'm going to ask you a question. And I went, okay. Because Austin, you're a pretty stoic guy. Like, you don't really you don't really get, like, amped about stuff. And you're just like, let me ask you a question. And like, really, you're like, this is what I'm looking at. And you described the scene to me. And I went, what are you doing? You're there still? Like, yeah, I'm going to, like, hang out till the cops get here. Just in case, like, just
typically, I would say I probably wouldn't call the cops if, like, oh, it's like, wait, drugs in Baltimore, you say? Like, no way. Like, it wasn't, like, a particularly,
drugs
like,
in Baltimore.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, a particularly alarming thing, but I think because of the proximity to where I live,
yo,
and
the
it's
text,
the county.
The
county
text I got from you was, you thought it was three, you initially thought it was three people.
And it just happened to be that, like, they had fallen into, like, you know, the way that crackheads fall when they pass out. So it was like just legs, like a tangle of legs. And you would think doing jiu-jitsu, I'd have a better handle on how many people it was. Nope. So ended up only being two people. Really just passed out from like some sort of opioid. They got Narcan and woke up when the cops got there. It was fine. They ended up being fine. They just had OD'd and just fell out of their own car, apparently. I don't
but
know.
But as a result of this, Austin was tied up with the police and other stuff.
Right.
For late, so we didn't start recording until after midnight. This show, so if it comes off a little like Maine is particularly more dumb than usual, that would explain.
Yeah, I probably talked. If you probably total my time of like content, this is probably the most content I've talked. It's just this ending sequence. It's like, hey, there's fights going on. Cut to me. There are fights. Like,
but no, you get some good stuff for fight to win. Like, I think honestly, like, you wouldn't be here if I didn't think you were a good analyst. Like, you're a good analyst. Like, you talk about stuff well.
Thanks.
Like, you describe the scene well. Like, the crackhead story is a great story, and it explains why we're recording at 2 a.m. in my house.
Yeah.
So, what else you got going on? You doing any competitions coming up soon?
Yeah, I'm gonna do Tap Cancer Out, man. That's gonna be cool. It's like a little charity fundraiser event.
They did a professional card a little bit ago that was streamed on Facebook. We tried to cover it a little bit. We actually got some results for it a couple weeks later. Really cool event, like really cool organization.
And they're gonna do some more of that. I was talking to the founder, and he seems like he's really into like the event scene. So he wants to run like a tournament when he goes to a city, but then also kind of put on some like some fight to win style kind of events. That would be kind of cool.
Because they showcased some really cool black belts last time. I think Mark Vives was on the card, and there were a couple other like really cool like matchups on the card. I think Lawton was on the card. Jared Lawton was on the card as well. I don't remember, but hopefully they get that streaming sorted out and we're actually able to cover them because, again, it's a really cool organization, and I like the causes that they support.
For sure.
So yeah,
I talked to the owner a good bit. He came to our gym and trained with us a little bit last week. Him and one of his blue belts, and they seem really like really down to earth people. Like, I don't know, they seem really cool. I'm excited to compete on the van. I've not competed for them before, so.
So anything else? Anything else after that?
Probably. There's always something. I'm always doing like these small tournaments. No one literally watches.
You did trap like recently.
I did do trap.
They kind of streamed that. We're actually, I think, in the mm-hmm. next time that Trap runs an event, I really enjoyed their stream. There was a really, really well put together stream.
Yeah.
And you were actually at the event. I think Josh was at the event as well.
Yeah, Josh came up and coach for me. So he was going to compete, but then I'm getting injured.
So yeah, the stream was really good. So I think we'll cover them in the future for events. So that was cool. Mm-hmm. My back is still pretty jacked. Oof. I got another doctor's appointment tomorrow, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes, and they'll be like, "We're gonna more injections." I'll be like, "Let's do it." So I've been swimming a ton. Yeah. And do I hate swimming?
You should keep doing it if that's all you can do.
Dude,
for now.
I swam a mile, like in one session.
That's significantly
1,700 yards. I'm so bored. It's like I'm getting better at swimming, which is weird.
That's cool.
It's not cool.
I mean, I don't know. At least you're getting better at something. You can show some improvement at
it
something.
It is. I'm like learning how to flip turn and do other stuff. But yeah. I realize, like, man, I hate swimming. Like, it's just not a pleasurable experience to me. Like, I'm in the water. It's like all of the benefits of exercise while also trying not to drown.
So you're learning a life skill.
I got lifeguarding. Proud of you. And I stopped doing that for a reason. I was like, cool, let me get out of the pool. Like, I know enough to keep myself safe and save another person. And then, like, that is the skill tree that I don't need that skill anymore.
Let's say you get back into jiu-jitsu, like, you already had really good cardio. I mean, I guess you'll have more of it.
Dude, my grappling cardio was probably terrible now.
There's some light resistance.
I've been off the mats for, like, 6 months, like, in any, like, sort of, like, training sort of way since my knee injury back in January.
Well, yeah, you're still going to have to take it slow when you first get back, too. It's not like you're going to jump right back into it.
I would hope not after a 10-month or a year of injury. Yeah, I just hit my year mark for injury at this point.
So, I mean, I wouldn't worry about your cardio right away if you're, like, barely rolling in the beginning anyway.
I just want to put a gi back on. I'm shopping gis right now.
Just wear them around the house.
I might.
Robes.
All right. So, anything else, Austin?
I think that's it, dude.
All right. That is it for this week on the Grappling Rewind. As always, I'm your host, Manger, with my co-host,
Austin.
And we will see you on the mats. If you like the show, please consider sharing it on Facebook with the folks at your gym. It's the best way that we grow the show, and we really appreciate it. You can reach out to us on email.
We also have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Google+.
Until that shuts down.
We have a website.
If you have an event you would like to have us cover, please let us know. If you have a name, like most people do, and you'd like to have us stop butchering it,
let us know.
Reach out to us. The show is also available on YouTube, Spotify, in addition to iTunes and every other podcast service. We very much appreciate your time, and thank you.